Welcome, welcome. We are a cis society, a global community that fearlessly explores taboo topics around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. And this is Taboo Talks, a weekly conversation where we dive into taboo with leading minds in order to bring shadow to light. Today, we have a really special bonus episode for you, where we're joined by Hoku Lobo, a medicine man and just an ancient wise being who's one of my near and dear friends, as we just dive deeper into the topic of hormonal cycling for men. Last month's topic was menstruation, and it felt like we hadn't quite fully wrapped a bow on that topic because we had really been wanting to explore, now, what is the hormonal cycle look like for men? Because we had discovered very in detail, we had explored what that looked like for women and really how that was connected to the menstruation cycle. And by understanding these hormones and cycles and seasons, that we were able to really tap into our power as women. And so it was super interesting that this conversation with Hoku ended up just serendipitously flowing through a conversation. And I had to get it on the recording for all of you to be able to really balance the scales and hear how it is for the men too. And what are your seasons? What are your cycles? How are your hormones changing daily or yearly? And how can we as women support you in understanding what you need throughout the day? Just as we desire for you to support us when we are menstruating and when we are moving through these different archetypes, we also have the opportunity to offer that support for you. And it really starts with the men knowing their own cycles first and foremost, and then sharing this with women, and women sharing theirs with men, and us just all coming into deeper states of harmony and compassion for one another. So this conversation really goes into everything. I'm so excited for you to listen. It's so, so, so juicy, super, super taboo, and really brings a lot of light and a lot of equality to everything that came up for women. There's equally energetics, manipulation, secrets, and superpowers for the masculine. And healing, profound healing. So again, we are a cis society, and if conversations like this excite you, follow us here. And also listen and follow us on Instagram at cissociety.world, where we continue to break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truth. Welcome in. Okay, so we're recording the information around a man's hormonal cycle. So will you start, please, by sharing what you shared with me?
Yes.
And then specifically day by day, the overall trends. Yes. And then the daily trends. Okay, and we're with Hoku Lobo. Hoku Lobo.
Star Wolf.
Star Wolf is here sharing his knowledge.
I originally went down this rabbit hole when my twin flame started really addressing her desire to have a child. And when she would talk about her moon and her fertility cycle, it sparked interest in me, like, oh, am I having hormonal shifts with the moon like women are, or what else is playing out? And I did discover that there is hormonal shifts in men as well with the moon cycle, but it's not nearly as profound as women's monthly hormonal shifts that are going on physiologically within their body. Mm-hmm. Men physiologically have more dramatic hormonal shifts on a daily cycle and a yearly cycle. And I feel like both men and women have daily, monthly, and yearly cycles. But for women, they have a very dramatic monthly cycle, whereas men have more of a dramatic daily cycle and a slightly more dramatic yearly cycle.
And I love that you use the word solar to describe it.
Right. We have a solar cycle with our hormones, and women have that lunar cycle with their hormones. And there is, to an extent, again, men have some sort of lunar cycle with the moon, but we're not as dramatically influenced, at least with the death of our womb and everything, physiologically speaking. And fertile wise as well. We're fertile the whole month. We're fertile every single day.
Wow. Yeah. And you were also sharing that with the solar energy, meaning that men actually they're more supported, or it's easier for them in the summer times, and the winter times are actually harder on them based off of your hormonal cycle.
Correct. Physiologically speaking, men should conserve their, I'm not going to say should, but it, in regions especially with colder climates, physiologically speaking, it's more practical and beneficial to reserve semen and not ejaculate during the winter. Just physiologically speaking, with energy, it takes more energy than in the winter. Instead of conserving the energy and warming the body, then you will be pulling energy and the reserves of the energy into creating more semen. Strictly physiologically, there's also a lot of spirituality and Taoist principles that go into this idea as well.
So even if you aren't in a cold location, like you're in Hawaii, where you don't really have to keep your body warm, and there still is some sort of spiritual significance.
There's still a spiritual significance, and it boils down also to circadian rhythm. And even though it's not getting super colder, the day cycle in and of itself is getting shorter. There's less daylight, even if it's not as dramatic as Alaska. There is less daylight, and that in and of itself does a whole range of things hormonally to both men and women.
Yeah.
But especially towards men when it comes to production of semen, because we have such a solar cycle as it is on the daily. And
wow, so the sun is like charging your semen.
Correct. And so if we have a longer day of sunlight, for example, during the summer, we have more of that solar energy pumping into our hormones and our semen, and it being more just actively able to produce. Like, if you're in a hot climate, sun all day long, you're very fertile and you're able to pump out babies.
So what hormone is that?
Testosterone.
Testosterone?
Yeah, I would say testosterone is definitely the male's main hormone. We have other hormones at play, but we don't have the cocktail of different hormones that are floating around with women.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, because I connect testosterone with like energy and vitality and not necessarily always fertility. Like, I'm wondering if there's another hormone that's also connected directly with fertility. I don't really know the masculine hormones other than testosterone.
Right. And I know that our testosterone production and reserves are their highest first thing in the morning. That's why we're ready to have a baby first thing in the morning, and why we men often can wake up with a lot more energy first thing in the morning.
Yeah. That's when your testosterone peaks.
That's when we're at.
In the morning.
It's right when we wake up.
And then how long is it, like, peaking there for?
There's a lot of articulation around that. I personally feel for myself through till the afternoon. Some people will say, well, if you have stimulants like caffeine or food even, that can tank your testosterone and your energy levels, because then you start producing, metabolizing things for digestive enzymes to break down the food and everything. Some people say certain things will help, so I think that is on an individual basis there, but just for the actuality of the cycle, if you don't eat at some point, well, then you're going to start losing the energy to be producing
it's
testosterone.
It's like a sweet spot.
Right, there's a sweet spot. And I find that for myself in my age, my youthful age of 26 next week, that's around like 1:32 in the afternoon is when I'm ready to eat something in order to keep my energy levels, because I'm no longer riding off of my hormonal cocktail from the morning.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. And it probably is also would be a great time to be productive and be in your creative energy.
Yeah, all morning. And then when that food time comes around, I like to take that afternoon siesta and, like, be able to just fully digest the food. Like, 30-minute little nap when I eat. Or at least be super calm and conscious when I eat in the afternoon. And then the evening goes a lot more beneficial with that digested food. I do tell a difference, though, if I don't allow myself to be in a peaceful state when I eat or digest food or not as conscious with my eating, that influences my energy for the whole rest of the evening, and then even into the morning. I see how it messes up my hormonal cycle even in the morning, and I might crave food earlier and not have the energy longer in the morning. Food really does play a big role to hormonal cycles, and even being able to tap into these sensitivities with the hormonal cycle. I mean, some guys don't get hard-ons in the morning, and that's because of several different things, right? It could be this food, it could just be, like, some kind of hormonal imbalance in some other way with sleep, da-da-da. But also, if you're eating it off too often, you're not going to have a hard-on necessarily in the morning either. And a hard-on in the morning is not necessarily an indicator that you're right on with, like, your hormone cycle or anything, but it is a good indicator that you might be doing the right things to have enough testosterone in the morning to reproduce. Because again, if we're looking at the primitive nature of the bodies, and understanding just the nature of the body, if it's aligning in some sort of nature of the body, then maybe we're doing something right for our bodies. And being able to reproduce first thing in the morning on a primitive way is a way to check in with our bodies and see that we're doing something right.
Oh, as men. Awesome. Yeah, so it's like a achievement of being fertile.
Yeah,
strong.
And if we're able to be fertile, then we're most likely intaking good resources and enough water and things allow us to reach fertility point, right? We have to have our cup overflowing in order to actually really be fertile.
Yeah, like sexual prime. So what were you sharing before? It was crazy about how many erections that a man gets when he's sleeping.
Yeah, throughout the night, we have men and women both are balancing their hormones quite dramatically throughout the nights. Men can go through over 1,000 erections a night, and that be in no way sexually related.
That's crazy.
That doesn't mean we're dreaming about pretty women or pretty men. That doesn't mean we're having wet dreams. But dreams are actually a quite interesting occurrence. That's a whole other discussion. But
come back to that. Bookmark that. Okay, but what does it mean? The energy is just flowing, circulating.
Yeah, the testosterone is like whenever we're able to be in a cocoon, we're regulating the hormones. Whatever's happening in the body, right? Like if we ate something or if we did release a load that day, or even if we didn't release a load, now we're, you know, creating reserves of fertile semen, because that's again the man, the masculine body is ready ready every morning to have as many kids as we can get. And that's what the body is just really designed to do. Doesn't mean like we need to do it. It's just that's what's happening though throughout the night. It's like, oh, it's regulating all the things. We're getting the reserves ready so we can impregnate.
It's like firing out an army.
Yeah, like men, in all honesty, I don't feel like are supposed to just be with one partner, primitively speaking. Like if we're looking at the instincts of the physiology of the body, we want to just reproduce the gene pool.
And taking over the world.
Well, women have the egg that then has to last for 9 months when they carry a child, right? And so men aren't always going to reach the fertility level. Like if they're doing everything right in their body to make their semen fertile, then that's when they can actually reproduce. And part of that also is not releasing the semen daily, because if you're releasing the semen daily, men may have been able to, you might notice in a man's ejaculation if it's more liquidy or if it's more goopy. And these things actually can show fertility in a man, not always, but there, if it is more goopy, that is a telltale indicator that there is actually a concentration of semen in there, and it's not a water down version of it. And then I mean, from experience, I've been able to experience more watered down semen and thicker semen. And yeah, knowing from also straight guys who have told me about, you know, their pregnant stories and how they've gotten women impregnated, this information is also carrying through here. So again, if you're riding fertile in the morning, it might be an indicator that you're doing something right with your diet and everything. And telltale signs of fertility are erection, having thicker semen when you do ejaculate, pre-cum is actually a telltale sign of fertility. But there are things that, you know, intrinsically make someone infertile, but those are, you know, a range of things, you know, coming from genetics to vaccinations to the food that we put in our body. And all of these other things that I just mentioned also do impact the hormonal cycle of the man as well. We just don't feel like as a society, we look at a male's hormonal cycle with as much importance because they're not needing pads for blood, and it's not as dramatic as the monthly thing. And I love that women have so much awareness and light shined on their things. And I feel like, you know, I'm a perpetuate that. Women should get pads and cups or whatever for free. Like, that should be there. But I don't feel like it's as much understood that men are having some kind of thing happen as well. Especially when we look at society today, and like, you know, the drive isn't to make children anymore. It's like, what are we doing with our lives? How are we perpetuating a legacy for ourselves? It's no longer necessarily, oh, our kids are our legacy. It's no longer get pregnant at 16 and build a family at 8.
Yeah, I would love to explore that idea more, because this is all talking about being fertile. But how else can we describe what fertile is outside of just a place of having children? Like, what else can we do with this life-giving energy? What else can men create?
Right.
And I think that's what it opens up.
Right. And especially if you are tuning into retention of the semen and understanding that you don't have to let it go, even though the hormones are saying, like, oh, it's ready. Make a child. Deciding to take that energy and quite literally, I feel, push it up the spine and lubricate my spine with it.
I
feel more limber, I feel more relaxed, and I feel like I come from a more heart space and grounded space whenever I retain my semen. And that's not to say that you can't still reach orgasm and pleasure. No, I still have orgasmic experiences. There's a special spot for men that are depressed that prevents the magical liquid from escaping. See my OnlyFans for that. No, but it's right in between the scrotum and the asshole. Right there in the perineum. You just press down there as hard as you can, and when you get all the way there, you go over, and it feels like you have a volcano of ejaculation, but it doesn't come out. And you, in that moment, continue the prayer, and you send that orgasmic energy up into the third eye. Like, it's such an amazing experience. And I feel it light up my whole spine. I feel lose it. Bones crack sometimes. And instead of feeling drained right after that sexual experience that I had been feeling sometimes, I actually feel really ready to go do something creative and from an even more grounded place, because I'm no longer desiring sexual interaction.
That makes a lot of sense.
And there was also sexual satisfaction there, because it's not like, oh, I just edged to the point where, oh, I'm almost there. No, I like overflowed with ecstasy and still retained the liquids and had energy to do whatever's next in life.
So this could definitely be a really helpful strategy just to at least try on for, I don't know, just any amount of time, just to mix it up, right, from the normal.
And what, like retaining?
Yeah, retaining. Or is it like a lifestyle thing where you're doing this for an extended period of time? Is it kind of like on and off? Or
I feel like it also relates to the solar yearly hormonal cycle, because during the winter is this time where, again, males are... The more energy is towards, let's think of it primitively, right? Okay, we're going to go gather firewood in the cold, potentially. I mean, sure, maybe we're not all coming from more colder climates during the winter, but during the winter, for my genetics, and for a lot of people's genetics of the world, is, again, we're getting ready to hibernate and, you know, have more energy reserves go towards other things. So if we're coming, then the energy goes towards rebuilding what was in the reserves, and that goes against what on some level our DNA is programming us for based off the circadian rhythm cycle that we're falling into based off where we geographically are during the winter season. For men, women have something going on there as well, but it's different. But for men during the summer, Well, that's when there's an abundance and an overflow of solar energy. And when it's hottest, when it's warmest, solar solstice, summer solstice, that's when we're having so much energy where it's a great time for mating. We can have multiple ejaculations, I mean, throughout the week, and it not have as detrimental impact because of the solar cycle. I feel like it also has something to do with the light that's entering onto our skin and our bodies during that time as well. But there's a lot of things that impact the hormonal cycles of each males and females. And we do know that light plays some impact to that as well, scientifically speaking.
So would you say then, just for a general suggestion, to practice this withholding more in the winter time than in the summertime?
For sure, for dramatic effects. If you're going to hold for an extended period of time, definitely the winter.
And or what is an extended period of time?
The whole winter, that'd be 3 months.
Okay, so 3 months of not
right
ejaculating at all.
And during the summer would be the only time I would say, like, multiple times a week, just based off of this hormonal, like, the way that the bodies physiologically are. It's much easier said than done, and there can be accidents.
And what if you, like, mix, like, you know, you ejaculate, like, and you go back to not doing it? Are you still going to get the same, or does it, like, start over again?
Well, having grace and compassion with yourself with this is first and foremost. Not getting upset with yourself, because this can just completely reverse all of it anyway. And it took a while for me to be on that page with myself. Speaking from experience, like, I was just like, I'm not doing it right. I fucked up again. and that's not a healthy place either. And maybe even more of an unhealthy place than just enjoying sexual experiences. Yeah. And so definitely don't shame oneself. But holding oneself accountable still, if you make a commitment, is a good idea, because then it's like, well, did you actually have a commitment? But not shaming. And so not shaming.
Yeah, it's like having a goal and also having compassion for yourself always.
But so when I found this special trigger point on the body that retained the semen and still allowed me to have the satisfaction of a sexual experience, this made it a lot more easy. And it actually allowed me to reprogram my relationship with orgasm. Because, like, now I can ride edging and just, like, slow arousal. And it's, like, not... Everyone's like, you know, it's never really about coming. It's the experience anyway, right? And, yeah, logically, that makes sense for me. But now being able to keep the energy reserves that liquid represents for a man inward, but still have the satisfaction of orgasm. It just feels like the ultimate energy explosion.
You're winning on all fronts.
Exactly. And so now it's like not as much as like, when's the next time I'm gonna get a best of nut? But it's more like, why am I praying with this now? Like, it's
a superpower.
It's a lot more. Yeah, it's
men are unlocking their superpowers. Women are too. Wow, it's coming online. And it's also connected to that recovering that shame that we've had around our orgasms, ejaculations. We're dissolving that shame and we're owning it as our power, as our superpowers.
So I feel like men should definitely like work on this superpower if they want more energy, and they're like, they're feeling very low energy, you know, and you're working on your diet already and all these other things that are going to impact the hormone cycle. I feel like it is a very, very key component to success is being able to discipline one's sexuality.
Success. Oh, yes.
Not a shameful way, but realizing what the body's intuitively going to want to do just based off its natural rhythm, right? Men are going to want to bang in the morning. So if you can understand that and not shame yourself, like, why am I waking up with a hard on every morning or something? Because I've heard men like get upset with themselves that they want to fuck in the morning.
Just like use your magic wand.
Right.
Like you can use it for
so
anything.
Many, you know, like I don't watch porn.
Wield
like,
your wand.
I don't see the point in porn when I'm jerking off. Like I am literally weaving this deep
prayer. You could
prayer
literally have
a
jousting match, you know? You could use it for exercise.
Sometimes I sing or moan, and it's like there's so much feeling behind it, and it gets to feel so much better now that I can still reach that existential level go over and hold it, because I feel like I'm holding them that prayer. Like, imagine if you're blessing up medicine or something that you've been growing or something, you're weaving prayer, and I immediately go to ayahuasca. That's what I think about when I think about creating a cauldron of medicine and everything, and you're weaving these prayers and you're brewing it for 48 hours. I think of that whenever I'm with my nut, like, oh, it feels so good, and it's so much peace to the world, and like, and then I have that, you know, orgasmic feeling, and then I get to carry that then mm-hmm. with me as a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of making it nasty, like I'm objectifying something with porn, and I'm not shaming anyone who watches porn, I'm just saying, like, instead of having that the prayer, that then that's the jewel that I'm carrying around because it didn't come. Because then almost sometimes, like, here's the medicine of actually coming. All of the deep and profound release.
Yeah.
You can clip so many cords.
Yeah.
With letting that load out.
Mm.
So, like, I don't plan on holding my load forever, even though it's been quite a few months. But when I do clip that cord, whatever the jewel that I've been carrying, it's starting fresh, right? So if you have all these things in your system, all this hate or even drugs or things that are polluting the body, like, absolutely, come let it out and start fresh. And really hold that jewel then on a deeper level.
Yeah, equally as important to release as to...
Absolutely. But I don't feel like we talk about the reservation as much.
Yeah.
And there's almost a societal expectation, especially when you look at programming and porn. And even coming from the porn industry myself, like, you know, you don't get the money unless you give the money shot. And this is why I won't get back into studio porn personally, is because they're going to want me to come. And I don't want to just, like, have to come to get paid. Like, I'd much rather be interested in OnlyFans. Yeah. I do a studio thing again, because I'm not going to be told when to come.
Well, and let's also talk about the fact that they are only showing men coming in porn, and they aren't showing women coming.
Right. Or they are showing women in porn coming. Very dramatic, and it's like the whole thing, like, I feel like I've watched straight porn, and it's like they're squirting, like, someone's eye out a mile away. And I feel like that's on, I don't know how realistic that is, I haven't played with them.
Like a slip and slide image.
But I feel like that's also, to the same extent, like, you know, saying that that is the norm for women's orgasm. Just like men have to come at the end of the sex. Like, women have, if they're gonna come,
yeah,
it has to be this crazy, like...
Right? Let's just make a porn where the men aren't coming, and then the woman is just coming, like, over and over and over and over, and, like, the men are taking turns, like, drinking from her.
From her fountain of youth.
Yes. The fountain of youth. That's what the video will be called. I have the vision. Yeah, let's normalize that type of porn, right? Let's bring some more balance. So, yeah, it's just so interesting having this conversation after the last month of going into the menstruation and the power of the woman's cycle. And yeah, just feeling like that was already so in the dark for women. So it makes me feel like actually that's how in the dark this has actually been for men equally. But we're both just remembering this on a deeper level and kind of reminding each other. Right? Like, we need to learn these cycles for ourselves. Like, women need to learn their own cycles first. Men need to learn their own cycles first. And then we can teach each other how to live with each other and harmonize and cohabitate with each other based off of these cycles in a really powerful and supportive and compassionate way. And it's just a superpower to harness with every relationship in your life. Like, every one of them. I don't know why it wouldn't. Especially your sexual partnerships, romantic partnerships, you know, familial partnerships. And I'm already, like, having so much more awareness for, yeah, in my relationships with the men in my life. And thinking, oh, yeah, like, I do want to have more morning sex. Like, I was just talking to this with my partner. I'm like, I want to have more morning sex. And it's like, it makes sense. And that's when the man is, like, in that state, too.
And also, hormonally speaking, at the end of the day, after we've probably ingested some food and all these other things, like, we have a different concoction of things happening. Mm. It's not to say it's bad to have evening sex. I'm just saying, like, you don't actually really want to have sex on a full stomach. And I feel like most people agree with that, just logically speaking. But hormonally speaking as well, you're not actually getting the full experience. You're not the most fertile right after eating food because you have things digesting that food. And I just feel like even sensationally speaking, if you're going for sensations, you're not even getting the full sensational experience either because, again, you're not able to actually focus 100%. And you're never able to focus 100% of anything, but more of your energy is still being directed towards the digestion of food while it's in your system the 6 hours after eating, than it would be towards procreating. Even if you can get an erection on and go for it,
it's not. So you think that food affects an erection?
Yes and no. I mean, there are definitely certain foods that give you a hard on. Like chilies and stuff.
Like chilies and what else?
Capsaicin. Things that contain that hot stuff, right, for that are in chilies and other peppers, like habanero, like any pepper, oh yeah, have a man, and he will be
interesting.
Harder than ever when you go for it in 15 minutes.
Hot chili pepper.
But, like, I'm not saying, like, I'm saying, like, a snack is cool, smoothie, sure, but, like, if you're going to have a full-on meal, that is going to then affect sexual experience for at least 2 to 4 hours after having that meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different for every person's body type and metabolism.
But also that would be the same for a woman too. And so
at least, yeah.
If you are doing it more in the morning, then both the man and the woman are doing it with that like clear
reset.
Yeah.
That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like also my body just looks better when I first wake up. Right?
All this, the morning glow. You know?
Yeah, you're like, I have abs today. Oh, wait.
This is how I've arrived back in this consciousness. Because, yeah. I mean, through sleep, we're going through all these deep resets, especially with our hormones, both male and female. And I'm not sure for women on their daily cycle where the most opportune is. I feel like I remember reading it was actually mid-afternoon is the most opportune for a woman most of the time.
Yes, if you time it in, like, that noon clockish.
That perfect timing,
it's
right?
It's, like, the brunch. Overlap. I think, like, 12 to 1.
Yeah, something like that.
That must be the time.
Or 11 to 1.
That's a sexy time. 11:11 to 1:11. Yeah. That's the window,
That's
the sweet spot. That's the sweet spot. that sounds like a perfect window because, you know, as a man, you wake up and then you're the most creatively driven, and that's maybe for working out, creating a business, taking care of tasks, whatever it is in the morning when you first wake up, and then you take a little break and then you have a little sexy time, right? And then you relax into the afternoon and it's just, and then decompress. I mean, that feels like that would be a pretty dream schedule, right?
Definitely a good transition into creative energy.
Yeah, so that's like
helping them tap into their feelings.
Like 3, 4, how many chapters of a day would you say a man has? Like four different?
Yes. What was it? Are we including the night? If we're including the night, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 cycles, so will you...
There's 5.
...share those cycles in order?
I don't know if it's...
I think it's 4. It's 4. We have 4 as well.
Yeah.
That just would make sense, right. Like, we're mapping each other. So we, as women, we have our 4 cycles representing the seasons and the elements and archetypes that go with them.
Right.
So I'm curious, there has to be something like this for men too then, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, right in the morning is Beltane.
So that would be your spring, right? When you're highest?
Yeah.
Or summer?
Summer.
Or like that feels like the maiden energy, right?
Spring, first thing in the morning.
First thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then in the afternoon, it peaks.
To summer.
Yeah, to summer. That like 11 to 1 spot.
Right.
And then in the afternoon.
In the evening, we're in the Yule, the death.
Yeah.
And then overnight,
that's the siesta.
In the beginning before spring, the in bulk right now. That's, I guess, our sleeping.
And then at nighttime, it's nighttime.
Or in that hormone cycle, it's the preparation for the spring, for the ready to
Okay, so the men are going through the four seasons daily. As well, daily.
And women are going through it.
So, like, approximately, you know, middle of the night to early, to mid-morning, we're in the spring version, your spring season. And what's the name for that? Is there specific, you know, women have follicular ovulation?
No, I'm not sure. I have done some, like, actual general Google researching of this. There's not much
I wonder if there even are names like that for it.
So that's why I don't have, like, these specific details ironed out.
This is so taboo. Like, I thought that women's cycle was taboo, but I'm actually feeling like the men's cycle might be even more or equally.
It's, yeah, I mean, and I don't know many men who even give a shit. Or think that they, when I propose this to some people, they're like, that's crazy.
And why should men give a shit?
And I don't feel like it's as instrumental, like, women who want to have a child need to know what time of the month that they can have their child.
I would argue with that. I think it's equally as instrumental. It's just for different purposes.
For different purposes and for different
It's harnessing different your power.
Absolutely.
It's harnessing your cycle.
And this is a good way that men are enslaved. Like, the masculine is enslaved through pornography. Right, and then it's
calling it out.
I'm just because, like, first of all, it's teaching that ejaculation has to happen with sexual experience, and then, like, there's so much going on with pornography and how our brains interact with observing that. Like, if you've watched pornography, you've enjoyed it. You can't doubt that it's hot, right? Like, I was in the porn industry. Like, it's hot to watch, but because it's so hot, the dopamine drip that we get from watching
the dopamine drip. I love that.
It's like literally one of the most addictive things we can do to ourselves, especially when we find that niche porno or whatever, or that specific person. The dopamine drip. Like, seriously, like, we give ourselves such a high, more stronger than injecting heroin into ourselves. Because we're literally injecting it in our brains like that. We know that.
And then
that.
You mix that with social media.
Social media, while you're stroking your cock, while you're looking at other people, while you're thinking about that girl you have a crush on. Like, you can start to form all these really interesting things and dynamics towards people. And this is where toxic masculinity comes out.
Oof.
Right? And look again. Porn. And maybe it's not even porn, but maybe an unhealthy relationship with our sexuality can create so many bonds of power in a good way or bad way. But again, if it's an unhealthy relationship, most of these bonds of power, and I say bonds of power, is again, like, if you're jerking off about a girl that you really like or a guy that you really like, perhaps you then build some kind of weird feelings towards this person around them, resentment or shyness or things that, you know, instead of just taking the courage to embrace, like, hi, I'm enjoying your breath, can we go on a date, or whatever. I'm saying that cacao. I'm saying that it's quite literally modern masculine enslavement.
Wow. Mic drop. You know what? This conversation is just mind explosive. Oh my goodness. I'm really just feeling the masculine in my heart
then,
and this
then you
whole
get
new
it
level.
And it becomes a habit, right? Every morning I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna open up Pornhub, and I'm jerk off. It's my favorite thing. And then I'm not gonna have any energy for the rest of the day to do anything. And I'm just going to want to, you know, think about the things I just jerked off to.
Well, do you think that you can jerk off and still have energy?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If you press that point, or if you're doing it in a responsible way. But, like, again, jerking off to porn, I feel like it takes the prayer away from what our sexuality is. Mm-hmm. And then it's programming us with several things. It's programming us with whatever these messages behind the pornos are, like, these subliminal things, like, you have to come during a sexual experience. But then it's also creating this irrational dopamine drip around sexual experiences.
Yeah.
So that, you know, now whenever I see a girl that resembles that hot woman that I just jerked off to, my heart's going to explode around her. I'm going to get hard on. It's going to be this extreme want for the dopamine.
It's like a programming.
Right.
And it's like a total, like, mind control programming.
Yeah. Whatever
sacral controlling programming.
I had around this man or woman that then resembles this person that I see in public, right? It is.
Oh, the masculine are equally being manipulated as well. And this, it feels really connected to how I feel like women feel around sex toys and how my experience has been with sex toys. And for me, like, as a woman and many women I know, that's been what's felt enslaving for me.
Sex toys.
In terms of, needing to rely on these toys to have an orgasm and then having shame around not being able to give myself an orgasm without using a toy. For like years and years and years and years until very recently.
I'm so removed.
And like that, like the toy industry, I feel like is like our version of porn. we're on like, both ends of that we've been
but
consciously enslaved.
Where was that?
Oh no.
There we have it.
There was energy that needed to, that was needed to clear. That was deep, like talking about these liberations. It felt like a break-free moment. What happened was the pipe that we were smoking out of just fell, the glass pipe, and it just shattered on the floor. Like as we were just talking about this epiphany, this conclusion that we're equally being, we have been, as a society, as a collective, masculine and feminine.
It's also really interesting.
Manipulated pipe, from our sexuality.
This pipe.
Yeah.
Was given to me from a man who's going to kill himself. And had a really torn up sexual nature. An enslavement, if you will, with his sexuality. And I really love this brother. And I'm super sad that he's dead. It's still recent.
Oh.
But like, I just feel, like, almost an agreeance from him, like, as he's elevated through
the
portal, like, yeah, and you don't fucking need this pipe anymore, it's also an illusion. Wow. Sex toys. A prison for women.
Yeah. Because they create these robots that are, like, better than...
Right.
Like, they could do things that a penis can never do. I'm not going to say better, because that's not true at all.
I
just mean that they can do crazy things that a penis can't do and just move at all sorts of speeds and, you know, never end. Jackhammer.
I mean, I've had my fair share of attractions with a dildo. But I don't know, maybe men just don't know how to wield it in the straight world or something. But I
mean, and it's a crossover too, because porn can definitely affect women in this same toxic way, and toys can definitely affect men in this toxic way. I'm sure there has to be really good toys for men out there.
Well, there is like the fleshlights and things. I never was super obsessed because I feel like leaned more towards bottoming, but I actually am more experiencing desire towards the other polar spectrum in the gay world right now. topping, but for me, toys were really helpful, to be honest. Initially, for anal, it can be really painful. And so being able to find comfort in using a sex toy to open myself up in a safe way where it doesn't feel like I have to... I mean, like, in no way should you feel like you're performing for another individual, but also, like, getting your asshole loose enough to take in a penis might not be what you want to let. Maybe your partner is sweet enough to just sit inside of you for 5 minutes and help loosen you. Some partners are not patient enough for that, in my experience.
Well, that's how women feel about men and orgasms with them. So perhaps we could both be extending each other more patience.
That's
another huge thing that I feel like has the whole desensitization and over ejaculating is causing shorter windows of being able to have sex.
Right. Yeah, because, like, there's not the cultivation of a sexual experience with the lingam to keep stamina going for
a period of time. So that's a huge benefit with practicing hold with withholding. Yes, yes. Yeah, but that feels equally important, because a desire of mine has definitely been to have longer windows of sex with partners, because, you know, I take longer to warm up and I take longer to turn on, and in general, women do take more time than men, and certain women need even more time than right. other women. And
I want to say, though, what I'm hearing is important still from your statement, and what I was sharing in mine, is that it's important to know your own body.
Yeah.
You need to know that it takes longer for you to warm up, or what your mm-hmm. specific warm-ups are, or whatnot, right? Just, like, for me, though, when I started with anal, like, wow, it was just extremely painful, and I needed to get comfortable and find my breath with anal.
Yeah.
I wanted to, like, be able to be loosened up in order to actually enjoy the experience. Like, why am I doing it if I'm not going to enjoy it? And so that's why I used toys in the first place, because I felt like maybe only for myself I could trust myself. And, you know, maybe I could have trusted a partner or something, but for me to actually get into a way of wanting to enjoy anal anyway and go for longer periods of time with anal, for me to show up with a sexual partner in a way that just felt ready to start someplace was to be prepared already in that way and be able to be loosened up so a penis could even just go inside of me, because maybe I had such trust issues or whatever for myself, right? Like, with another person actually penetrating me. And I will say a dildo feels much different than an actual penis, right? And that was a whole other thing too, but being already able to understand how my body loosens and how I take a certain breath whenever it's edged in just a certain way just really allowed me personally to open up to sexual experience with men and stamina and duration, all that stuff, in a more approachable way. I don't feel like it was approachable before I started practicing with a comforting dildo that then I eventually got rid of. Like, I don't need that one much anymore, and maybe TMI, but I do use dildos to sometimes get ready in the process before anal, as, like, it can make sure, like, I can get into different positions and it can leverage out different points if something was hiding inside of the colon. And so, because I like to be, like, super prepared in that way as well. And for me, for anal, like, making sure nothing's in there is crucial. Or you can have, like, little things, like, kind of, like, go into the wall of the colon, and that's not pleasurable. And so,
can we just, like, talk about that? Just, like, pause for a moment. Uh-huh. Like, what is the easiest process to prepare for anal for men and women?
I use some sort of douche, like a water douche. There's different ones that you can buy, ranging from just a small plastic one that you fill up on the sink to, like, you can install something into your shower that actually you can, like, put into your butt and it'll fill up water inside of there.
So, what a bidet. Qualify.
A bidet definitely could qualify. I've used a bidet, like the one in your toilet. I haven't used that one, but
we just got a bidet installed. This is so handy.
And it depends on how willing and far you're wanting to go with the bidet and how much pressure is already in the bidet. As far as to how good of a job it does for anal, right? Like, I like to be squeaky clean, so I ideally have water going inside of the colon and coming out. And then there are different, people say different thing about this practice, actually, though, about it being healthy or not, especially for some guys who are doing it almost a daily basis, because it can dysregulate pH inside of the colon. And so there are different ways to incorporate, like, coffee enemas instead of just regular water. Some people put lemon juice in it. So I encourage you just to research. There's a variety of different things you can put in there that are safe, but you don't want to put anything in there that's not safe, or a concentration of things.
I'm just imagining lemon juice just being on fire.
It would just be like a squeeze in like a gallon of water. So you would use that gallon and like it would be like just...
Oh, that sounds nice.
It would like be a slight...
That sounds really nice. I put ginger in my butt recently, and that's been transformative.
Things you don't want to put in there, like cayenne pepper. No, you eat that. You don't put that one in your butthole, guys. That does not get you erect.
And what about a finger? You know, that's not going to be as intrusive. Do you? I want to hear what your take is like using with a finger.
That's
when men are having sex, I mean, and how using with
not just men having sex with men, but men having sex with women, women using their fingers on their partners to actually increase their partner's pleasure, because that is where a man's greatest pleasure lies. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, like, straight guys are going to have their feelings towards finger going near the butthole.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but some might. And that might also be just a programming, right? Like this.
But that might be a great portal opening into...
For sure.
Healing. Feeling.
But then also, like, you know, guys have feelings, right? And they might be embarrassed because it is their poop portal. and so approaching that with, like, if you are wanting to do that to a guy, understanding that he probably didn't do much maintenance there if he's a straight guy. But maybe he did, but, I mean...
Overgeneralization.
Sure, it's an overgeneralization.
But it might be more common right now, but I believe that the men are waking up to their pleasure and their power,
too. And
they may
have, you know, wiped with a clean wipe. It doesn't mean that they have, like, douched out that day, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean women have either.
No, for sure.
I think that this is, yeah, really interesting. Like, we can destigmatize bringing our anuses in, women and men.
Yeah.
But men especially, what do men, I mean, let's talk about the prostate, right?
Right. Like, even in the gay community, though, like, tops don't even like their asses touched sometimes, like, in sex, right? So
will you tell us about the prostate more?
Yeah. So there's, inside of there, a little point. Where if it's stimulated, right, the prostate, where it feels really good. It's like the really central spot of the nervous tissue right there.
Is that like the clit? Like the prostate is like the clit, right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And
yes.
To hit that point, it's, you activate it. You vibrate it whenever you are fucking and everything. You have so many different sensitive parts whenever you're thrusting your shaft inside a hole or whatever. But you're not necessarily hitting the exact depth of it. And so whenever you go inside the anal canal, you, like, right, just, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches, different on every person. But just right there and up is a spot that, I don't know, it just brings immense pleasure.
And is there like a liquid that comes out similar to?
So when guys are stimulated enough in that area, eventually there is some like that can release from almost the surrendering. I feel like it's a muscle relaxation that happens whenever there's an anal orgasm. From the anal orgasms I've had. I say that with quotations because I feel like it's different for every guy. And I feel like it's one of these really taboo things too, that similar to like a clitoris orgasm, people might not even be aware that it happens or whatever, right? Like or that it needs to happen for women, and like the whole thing that you've presenced me with that, right? Like,
yeah,
like bottoms are kind of just, I feel like a lot of people don't get like that there can be so much pleasure, like just talking from other gay guys. Like, and I feel like that is again branching to the toy conversation for me, and how much I used toys to find that specific spot for myself and to like understand my own internal anatomy so I can like understand, like, oh, when I'm riding the dick this way, I don't like it in this very particular angle because that's just how my internal anatomy feels.
Yeah.
I got to experiment and explore in all those different ways. And understand then that, whoa, okay, this is possible in this way.
Wow, you're understanding your inner cave. It's like on not only focusing on the exterior of the wand, but focusing on the interior, the cave. And the cave is the feminine. It's like the inverted part of you, because we always think about a masculine penetrating and a feminine like taking in, but like the masculine's energy being more assertive, and then the feminine being more receiving. But in this way, it creates more of that receiving, opening and energy for a masculine to experience. And I've talked to lots of people who have been sharing their experience of being able to penetrate their partner as a feminine and feel what it felt like, you know, wearing like a strap on or just using her finger. And for that experience, that power dynamic to shift, where the female feels like she's actually penetrating, and then the masculine is able to actually receive and be penetrated, and how that completely like shifts the dynamics of their whole relationship around, because they're able to understand both sides equally. It's like an equal power exchange. It's like breaking the matrix and the cycle of the power dynamic control between men and women. It's so deep. So this has been extremely real. We've gone everywhere on this rainbow journey, really exploring from the hormonal shifts to holding orgasms and menstrual cycles and orgasms and
stigmatizing ass play,
anal play, and
yeah, I feel like I have spent most of my sexuality exploring the cave inside my butt. And I haven't explored as much as the masculine. I think I hinted at it earlier. And so for me, in this time, right now, I'm exploring more of my...
Exploring more of the solar.
The solar sexuality.
Yeah, which is more of your masculine energy.
Yeah,
your masculine energy.
But I'm still very balanced in that feminine energy.
So yeah, like, and let's bring it all back to that. That's like the wholeness of it all integrating.
And it's also like a prayer.
It's like you're literally like, as you're opening up your asshole as a man, like you're opening up your feminine energy. You're connecting to your feminine energy,
right?
Because we all have those inner polarities, and perhaps as women, when we're connecting more with our, you know,
masculine.
Our clit, our clit energy too. Like, right. A clit is our masculine. Like,
right.
A clit is our penis.
Right. Right? Yeah.
So when we're interacting with our clit, then we're opening up to our divine masculine energy.
Yes.
Our masculine energy. That's prayer. Prayers and finding balance. And right now, just to wrap this up, because this has already been almost an hour, it feels like right now, as a feminine, I'm being really asked to just like hold space for men. I'm seeing a lot of women hold space for men, and for men to feel safe to be held by the feminine, to be safe to ask for what they need and to feel safe to in receiving that. And for the feminine to feel strong and able to support and grounded and logical. And yeah, I feel just there's this next level of respect and being metness and alignment that is happening collectively for the feminine and masculine energies, really just for all of us coming into more harmony and unity. So thank you so much. Thank you for all of your wisdom. And this has been absolutely transformative. I need to integrate this conversation now because there's so much that came up. And I'm sure that the men listening to this are feeling the same way. Men and women equally. So yeah, I'd love to hear how this is affecting you and what you've learned from this. And if you have any other questions for Hoku, maybe we can do a round two of this, because I do feel like there's even so much more that we didn't even cover, and so much more that we could cover.
But yeah, maybe this can be a part one of part two.
Yes. Ouch.
Yeah, but if listeners want to get connected with you, what would be the best avenue to do that?
Where is this being shared?
Instagram, podcast, Spotify podcast.
Well, if I'm tagged on Instagram, just at Urban Healer with an H. Urban Healer. That's great to DM there. And if you're in the WhatsApp chat or Telegram chat, there is great. Oh, we're not in Telegram. We're just in WhatsApp, right?
Yeah.
When we had Telegram, the OG crew in Telegram.
Already been like through deaths and rebirths.
So yeah, just the WhatsApp chat. I'm up in there. I think it's that style or something.
Yeah, I'll tag you in the show notes and your Instagram.
And you can just DM.
Yeah. Thank you again. And yeah, this has been an episode of Taboo Talks, a bonus episode for the masculine to be equally equipped in harnessing the power of their cycles and their ejaculations and their creative life force energy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
let it channel, let it flow.
And yeah, we're just wrapping up here, and this has been another beautiful episode of today's Taboo Talk. Thank you, each and every one of you, for being a part of this conversation, part of this online growing global community. And we invite you to follow us on Spotify podcasts. Connect with us on Instagram, again, at cissociety.world, and we're also on YouTube as well. And we are going to be having these conversations every week, so tune back in, same time, same place, for a new transformative episode next week. And if you are desiring deeper conversations around these topics, please feel free to send us a private message via our Instagram page at cissociety.world, linked in the show notes. We have a beautiful WhatsApp community with just super vulnerable, real, authentic conversations like this all of the time. And we would love to invite you into our community. So again, just reach out to us via DM to be added to our growing WhatsApp community. And we will see you next week for another episode as we pioneer the new earth together, hand in hand.